Christmas, because this is our kids' church program would be today. Next Sunday is our Christmas sermon, of course. So the title of this message is Christmas 2020 Part 1, and I want to talk to you about why God became man. Have you ever wondered about that? I mean, listen carefully. Why didn't God just show up, meaning God only? Why did God have to become man? And that's a very, very important question and something that every believer needs to understand. You know, I know, and you know, that this Christmas, unfortunately, is going to be different than any other Christmas that we've had. I mean, there's not a Christmas rush going on. I mean, there is with Amazon, I guess. But, you know, the things that we do online. But, you know, even the secular world where they take their little ones to see Santa, I mean, for the first time, you have to see him through plexiglass, okay? You know, everything has changed. Everything is different. But it's not going to remain that way. And here's the thing that we need to understand. For us, it is still Christmas. Amen? It's still the celebration of our Savior. Listen, COVID cannot hold our Christmas hostage. It doesn't work that way. Amen? No. Listen, it saddens me when I see so many people, and they're sincere people, and they're good people, but they're struggling to capture the spirit of Christmas, if you will, but they're doing so, meaning the Christmas that the world has created, not the Christmas of the Word of God. The world's holiday has absolutely nothing, as we know, to do with the baby in the manger and so forth. And so the day, the most important event, the most important birth in the history of the world, when God became man. And let me share something from my heart before we get into the Word. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture, and you will not be able to turn quickly enough to all of them, so you're just going to take notes would be easier. But in my heart, I really do feel, and I understand maybe if you don't feel this way, but I feel this way. I have a perfect peace in my heart that I'm thankful that this Christmas, in light of everything that's going on, that our campus is not decorated inside or outside. And I'll tell you why. Because even I've been up nearly all night long, so if I stumble and stutter and all that, it's just only because I'm tired. Do you know what I did most of the night? I prayed for all those in the hospitals and families across our nation that are so wounded and so hurting because of the loss of loved ones. And it's a time to pray. I pray that you're praying for them. I pray that you're hurting with them because they have lost husbands and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and sisters and brothers and babies and teens and all the rest of it, all because of this COVID. And then think about the families that they didn't get to say goodbye to their loved ones. Now, some of you are saying, Bill, please cheer me up, bring me up. Listen, there are 300,000 funerals since March 13th in our country. I don't know about you, but it grieves me. It grieves me, and we should be praying over. That's what we're the only people that can go to the throne of grace. Amen. We should be praying, and I believe it is good for us to be knocked down a notch, if you will. And I say that lovingly, that we have come full circle, and we're now going to celebrate our Christmas just like the first Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Listen, in the first Christmas 2,000 years ago, was everything decorated? Were the streets of Jerusalem lined with, you know, flashing lights and what is that right? Are you with me? Come on. Don't be Grinch or a Scrooge or anything. I'm talking. No. Was there any silent night in the background? Away in the manger? Hark the herald angels sing? Nothing wrong with that at all. But that night, that special night in Bethlehem, when the invisible God became visible and God became man, meaning the God-man. I heard someone say the other day, he said this. He says, I think that we've made Christmas too beautiful. And I think that's a true word. I think the church is guilty. And I think the world is certainly guilty. But the events of the first Christmas, the birth of Christ, think about that for a moment. Has anybody here in this audience, this small audience this morning, has any one of you given birth, mothers out there, given birth to your son in a stable? in a barn and placed your baby in swaddling cloth and into a feed trough? Anyone ever, have you done that? Well, see, that's what it was. How would you like to be born in a smelly, I mean, if you've ever been in a stable, is it a sweet aroma? Would you want perfume made after that? No, loved one, not at all. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the God-man, was born in a smelly, stinking stable filled with animals. He left the splendor of heaven for the squalor of earth. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich," Jesus rich, he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he's the creator, the sustainer of everything, amen? It says, "Though he was rich, yet for your sakes," for my sakes, Paul writes, "Jesus, he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." The word poor there means he had absolutely nothing left to give. That Jesus, our Lord, the meaning of Christmas, he gave everything, loved one. God gave everything for us. You know the Christmas story in Luke 2:6 where it says, "And so it was while they," meaning Mary and Joseph, "were there in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger." A manger, again, you know what it is. It's a feed trough for animals, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, that has become so familiar to us, and rightly so. I mean, we know it all by heart. We know the story. It's embedded with us. But you know, think about that. He came into a world that he created, but there was no room for him. I think about that. I mean, can you imagine God being heard crying from a feed trough? Can you imagine him breathing in, as he was born, the air from this world that he created? I mean, the birth of Christ is amazing, isn't it? If you really ponder it, if you really think about it, if you really meditate on it in your hearts, loved one, and it says there that there was no room for him in the inn. And what kind of reception did Jesus receive, the Son of God, when he came to this planet? John 1:10, it says that he was in the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own people, his own nation. It says, and his own did not welcome or did not receive him. Isn't it amazing that God, the God-man, came to this planet, yet the world that he created did not acknowledge him? Matter of fact, they still don't acknowledge him, do they? Not today. No, they didn't welcome him. They didn't want him. And he was despised. He was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. And finally, they hated him so much, in the very end, they killed him. It says in John 1:14, speaking about God becoming man, it says, "And the Word became flesh." The Word. Jesus is the Logos of God. He is the Word of God. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. It says the Word became flesh. It became man. Think about that, yet sinless. Oh, what incredible that he came, and it says he dwelt among us, or he took up residence among us. He pitched his tent among us. Now, when it says that the Word became flesh, that's a new form, not a new existence, because Jesus has always been. Amen? Now, listen to me. Jesus, the Son of God, became what he had never, ever been before. Flesh. Think about that. He became man. He became the God-man, perfectly divine and perfectly human. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Now listen about him being a man. Was his manhood, the manhood of Christ, the God-man, was his flesh supernatural? That's something to think about. No, he was a real human being. He was a real man, just like we are real human beings. Amen? Listen, Jesus, did he depend upon Mary to take care of him? Of course he did. Why? He was a human being. Yes, but he was God in the flesh. Does that make sense? Not only that, Jesus cried like a baby because he was a baby. Amen? How many times have you, you know, if you have your little ones and they can be sitting in your lap and all of a sudden there's a sound that goes off. And it does it startle the little one? And did they just start crying? Oh, God, help me. Don't let this bunch torture me. Lord, I'm tired, you know. Of course, he was a baby. Do you understand? God became, I mean, I think about this. They build it. How do you teach that? I don't know how to teach that. And I'm amazed. I mean, that Jesus, the Son of God, the God-man, here he is in human flesh. He's God, and he has to learn how to crawl. He has to learn how to pick the food out of the plate by the mom. Do you understand? He has to learn how to walk because he is the God-man. It says in Philippians 2:7, but it's talking about Jesus who made himself of no reputation. In other words, he made himself nothing, even though he came down from heaven to earth. And it says he took the form of a bondservant, which is a bondservant is the lowest place on the social ladder, if you will. In other words, bondservant is the exact opposite of Lord. And it says he humbled himself, and being found in the appearance as a man. Jesus was a man, the external. He was a human, yet he was God. And it says he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Think about it. God came, he was born to a virgin named Mary, he was born in a stable, he was laid in a feed trough, and then he grew up and God became a carpenter. He became a working man. Think about that. I think about it. Here he was, Jesus was a carpenter. Let's say he was working with Joseph, you know what I mean? He was teaching him to be a carpenter and so forth. I mean, now listen, Jesus is God. He could have, but he didn't, and he wouldn't. He could have created a whole new world, couldn't he? And there he is in the shop. He's a carpenter, and he hits his finger with that hammer. What do you think happened? Did Jesus all of a sudden sing the Hallelujah chorus? Huh? No. Do you think he went, oh? Yes. Why? He was man. He was God-man. He wasn't like every step he took was absolutely perfect. Yes, in the will of God. Did Jesus ever stump his toe? I bet he did. Whenever he was fishing, maybe he got a fish hook and it went into his finger. Are you listening to me? See, he became one of us. And I think about that. Dear Lord, for the first time, God experienced human hunger. Think about that. For the first time, God experienced human thirst. And the tears that he wipes away from heaven, for the first time, he feels the tears fall upon human cheeks because Jesus was man, the God-man. And for the very first time when Jesus, as he grew up into his life, and then he entered into the full-time ministry after the baptism of the Spirit came upon him, after the temptation scene with the devil, his ministry began. And what was going to happen, for the first time, he was going to see what it was like for a human fist that he created to hit him in the face. For the hands that he created to take a whip and scourge him violently. For the first time, feel the spittle of a Roman soldier coming down his face. He was a man. He was a God man. He felt the hate of the world and all the rest of it. Listen to me now. Jesus' body, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, was a real human body, and it was subject to aging. Are you with me? If it wasn't subject to aging, he could not ever leave being a baby. Am I being too simple? No, do you see what I'm getting at? I mean, do you think that Jesus' muscles ever ached a little bit? Yes. Do you think that he started getting maybe a few wrinkles as he turned into the 30, 31, 33? What? You see what I'm getting at? Jesus was man. He was a human being. He was the God-man. And he lived a perfect, sinless life, and then he died a savage death on the cross. Why did God become man? Listen carefully. Hebrews 10:4. For it is not possible that the blood of bull and goats could take away sin. Therefore, when God came into the world, whenever God became a man, the God-man, listen now, he said, sacrifice offering you don't desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Jesus, that body, that human body that he willingly allowed man to butcher and place upon the cross, loved one. He says, oh, burnt offering, sacrifices for sin. He says, oh God, you have no pleasure. No pleasure in all those sacrifices. Why is that? God's the one who commanded them to be done. Because all the sacrifices from Genesis until the time of Christ, all of them in Judaism, not one sacrifice could ever take away sin. It would only atone for sin till the next year. Amen? And he says, oh, behold, he said, I said, oh, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Listen to this verse, Hebrews 10:10. And by that will, meaning the will of God, we have been sanctified. How? Through the offering of the human body, the God-man, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. The word sanctified there means this: because of what Jesus, the God-man, did upon the cross, we have been permanently made sanctified or holy or set apart forever and ever and ever and ever if you are in Christ Jesus by one sacrifice. That, loved one, is the love of God. The Son of God became the Son of Man. How important this Christmas is to me and to you. It says in Hebrews 10:11, every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But here it comes. You ready for this? Hebrews 10:12, but this man, there that is again, capital M, when you study it out later, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Right now, we have an advocate. We have a representative on the throne of God. Amen? In Romans 5:18, it says, therefore is one man's offense, meaning Adam, judgment came to all men. Isn't that amazing because of what Adam did? You know what? All he had to do, Adam and Eve could do anything they wanted in the garden. There was only one command: don't eat of that tree. They could play around that tree. They could build a swing and put it in that tree. They could probably, do a selfie at that tree. Do you understand? But they couldn't eat of it. And they did. And then when he sinned, sin and death spread to all men. That's why people die. It's because of sin. Adam's sin, and we are in Adam. But listen now, it says, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, and here it comes, also by one man, that's Jesus, one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Hebrews 2:14, I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture. It says, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, Jesus, he himself has shared in the same. God, he's the God-man. Why did he become man? That through death, his death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death, all of their lifetime, subject to bondage. Therefore, in all things, Jesus had to be made like his brethren. That's us. Why? That he might be a merciful, faithful high priest. In other words, to sympathize in the things pertaining to God and make propitiation for the sins of the people. Listen, why did God become a man, the God-man? 100% God, 100% human. Think about that. It's because sin, Adam's sin, who went down to all men, sin, the wages of sin is what? Death. Sin has to be punished. So what did God do? God made him, Jesus, his only begotten son, God made him who knew no sin, what? Sin. That we might become the righteousness of him in Christ Jesus our Lord. God came. Why did he become a man? To be punished for what we did. Does that make sense? See, he took your place. He took my place. That's why the birth of Christ is so important. He came not to live. Jesus came to die and to suffer and pay our penalty and take our punishment and also take the wrath of God that was due us. He took it for us. God gave his only son. That's why there's a baby in the manger. Listen, the pandemic has brought out the best and the worst in our nation and in mankind in general. And there's so much suffering and it so much pain. So many people that have died. And you know, you might be thinking, and it's easy today, I think, with an uninformed church, meaning if they don't meditate upon the Word of God, know the Word of God, believe the Word of God. See, it's very easy to think, you know, God, here we are, we're in this mess, don't you care about us? I mean, don't you understand what we're really going through? And, oh Lord, you know, my aunt died or my husband died, all the horrible things. And we have this tendency to think that Jesus, our Lord, who is the God-man, the human side, doesn't understand these things. You know, let me see if I can find it. I had it on my announcements. Let me see if I can find this real quick. It was very interesting. Yeah, here it comes. Someone wrote this, and I kept it, and I was going to use it, but I didn't feel the liberty, but now I do. I see why. This writer says this, struggling for normalcy during this period has been a common challenge. And through all these things are unique times for us, they're not unprecedented times for the church. He says the church has endured worldwide plague, civil unrest, oppression by governments, religious persecution all throughout its history. And then he quotes Malcolm Muggeridge, which said this, all news is old news happening to new people. Isn't that a true word? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, okay? Let me read it again. All new news is old news happening to new people. Our personal circumstances can often swallow our perspective. And so we're wanting to get back to normal, but loved one, if it doesn't get back to normal, we're going to move through anyway. Amen? We're not going to lay down and we're not going to be defeated. And Jesus does care. Oh, listen, he cares about your trials, your pain, your hurts. When you go to bed, when you wake up, when you go to work, he is 100% involved in you. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:14 concerning how Jesus feels about us and what he does for us. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, here it comes, let us hold fast to our confession. That has nothing to do with our salvation. So what is our confession? Here it comes. For we do not have a high priest who cannot feel with us, suffer with us, care for us. The word literally is who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, our hurts, our pains, our trials, whatever we're going through. But was in all ways, Jesus, the God-man, was in all ways tempted as we are. Now listen, he wasn't tempted as God. He was tempted as man to show us how to live. Amen? He said, yet it was without sin. He lived a perfect, sinless life as man, and he is the perfect or was the perfect sacrifice for all mankind. Therefore, let us boldly come to the throne of grace that we have made obtain help and mercy, find grace in time of need. Listen to me. Sometimes all of us, when we're alone, it may be at a workplace. It may be that you're in your car. I just prayed with someone yesterday. They were in their car having lunch. And they called me. And they were all alone. And they had questions. You know, you may feel that in the midst of all that you're experiencing and so forth, that, you know, maybe Jesus doesn't feel with you. But loved one, he does. He knows your pain. You may be in the middle of the night in an apartment or your home all by yourself, and you wake up in the middle of the night and tears are falling from your eyes, or pain has entered your heart, or doubts have entered your mind. Listen to me. He feels with you. Amen? You have to get that into your heart. Man, Jesus, he's not some cold person or unfeeling person. We can cast all of our care upon God. He cares for us. Amen? Oh, listen, nothing in Jesus's, the human side, nothing in his human experience is foreign to him. Do you understand? Nothing in human experience is, he feels your pain. He feels because, see, he knows. And here's what I know, especially after all these years. Jesus, the God-man, he understands your loneliness if you get lonely. He understands why you have fear. Do you understand that? He knows why. See, he was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. We're tempted all the time. Amen? Oh, listen, he knows what it feels like to be rejected. He knows what it's like for no one to love him or want him. He understands all of those things. He understands hate and why people hate. He feels it. Why? He is the God-man. He's not immune and was not immune to the suffering in this world. And we have to have that into our hearts. You know, I hear people, they call me, Bill, I'm going to give up. And I say to myself, God knows why you want to give up. God knows why you want to quit. God knows all things, and Jesus feels it, and he cares, and he is there to help us. Amen? See, that's what's so good, to know these things. Listen, Jesus knows why a person is afraid to tell the truth. He knows why a person chooses to lie. He's God, but he is the God-man. That's what is so incredible and so unique. Sin is the only human experience that Jesus, our Lord, never had any part in. But he suffered. It says in Hebrews 2:18, for in that he, meaning Jesus himself, he suffered, meaning suffered for us. How? Being tempted or being tested for us. Why? That he is able to aid those who are tempted. The word aid means he is able to hear the cry and come to those who need help. Now listen, God was not tested. It was the God-man, the human side. Does that make sense? Why? To teach us how to live. To teach us that to say, I defeated the wicked one. I defeated hell. I defeated death. He was without sin, loved one. And how important is it this Christmas and every day of your life, how important is it for you to truly believe as we celebrate Christmas next week, that the babe in the manger was not only fully God, but fully human. Jesus wasn't half human and half God. He was not merely a man who had God within him or just had God only manifested through him, which, yes, that was true. But that's not what it means to be. Listen to me. Jesus is God. He's God. He is the God-man. He is God in the flesh. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way in Hebrews 1:1, God, who at various times, various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Here it comes. Who being, meaning Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That literally reads the exact perfect representation of God's nature. Why? Jesus is God. Now you say, Bill, I know that, but he's God. Jesus is the God-man. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus told Philip in John 14:9, if you have seen me, you have seen the the Father. Jesus is God, loved one. In Colossians 1:15, it says, meaning Jesus, it says, he is the image of the invisible God. Christ, our Lord, is the visible expression of the invisible God. And think about this. The disciples knew him. They had dinner with him. They served him. They knew his mannerisms. They touched him. Think about that. The God-man. How would you like to hang out with the God-man? And you have to pay your taxes. And he tells Peter, oh, I'll just go down there to the little stream and you just pull out a fish with your hand. Open his mouth. The gold's going to be right there. Hello? Come on. Can you imagine? I mean, think about that. And yet, we're walking with him right now. Amen? Yeah, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. He's with us right now. Why do you think the incarnation, Jesus is God. Why do you, becoming flesh, why do you think the incarnation is so important? I mean, does it really matter that God became man? Does it really matter that Jesus was born of a virgin called Mary? The answer is absolutely yes. If the pre-existent Son of God, who has always been and will always be, the eternal God. Listen, loved one, if he was not born to the virgin in Bethlehem, then you know what? The Bible is not divine and it's not from God. If Jesus is not Emmanuel, God with us, manifested in the flesh, you know what that means? It means that the Bible is not true. It means that we do not have a great high priest. The manger is a lie. The wise men is a lie. The star, they're all lies. It did not happen. He is just, well, another human being. Another human being. The cross means nothing. The empty tomb means nothing. It just means nothing. If Joseph, Mary's husband, if Joseph was Jesus' true father, then Jesus is not the God-man. He's just another human being. And that meant that he didn't begin in eternity. He began in time, just like you and me. If Jesus has a human father, that means that he is born in sin like we are born in sin. And it means that John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is a lie. It means that Luke 19:10 is a lie. Jesus didn't come to save and, or seek the lost and to save. And it's all a lie. It means that John 3:16 is not true. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that who would ever believe in it, not perish, have everlasting life. But it tells me more than that. If the incarnation did not happen, I truly am alone. I have no hope. I have no way out. This is good as it gets. That's how important it is to know that God became man, the incarnation. But it's more than that. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 4:2, by this you know or recognize the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. Every spirit, I can even add to that legally, every spirit, meaning every pastor, every teacher, every Bible college, every Christian university, every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. Is of God. Amen? Come in the flesh means he's the God-man. In 12 days, I think it's what, 12 days, we're going to be celebrating the birth of Christ. The Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, just testified from the Word of God, and he's the author of it, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Amen? He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you've heard was coming and is now already in the world. Right now it's in the world. This world system. Listen to 2 John 7. It says, for many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man. He writes, this is a deceiver and antichrist. 1 John 2:22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, fully God and fully human, a perfect God or the perfect God, the perfect human. He is antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Man, what a word. I love the Bible. Who is a liar? anyone, Democrat, Republican, socialist, communist, college professor, so-called Christian believer. Amen? You deny that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. You deny that. You are a liar, the Bible says, and you are of the Antichrist spirit. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there's one God, one mediator between God and men. You ready? The man, what a wonderful word, capital M, the man, Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. When Jesus Christ was resurrected and he went out to Bethany and so forth and he ascended and as the disciples were gazing upward watching him, the angel said, this same Jesus will come back in similar way. Amen? Now listen, when Jesus ascended to the right hand of God and sat at on the throne of grace, love, and listen to me, was he the God-man? Yes, we have a man. That's why he knows, he feels we have the God-man sitting at the right hand of God, whoever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. Oh, man, he is our advocate. He's not only for us, he's not only with us, he is in us. Amen? 1 John 4:14, and we have seen, testified that the Father has sent, meaning sent from heaven, his Son as the Savior of the world. Why did God become the God-man? He sent his Son to rescue the world, to trust in Jesus. Oh, loved one, listen, Jesus did not come, he said, to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Amen? He came to rescue us. One more verse, Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin, not a virgin, God already knew who it was going to be. The Virgin Mary, all right, shall be with child. She shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. 100% God, 100% man. Oh, the wonder of Christmas. The wonder of Christmas. I tell you, I thank God that Jesus is not the only Savior, but he is Emmanuel. He is with us permanently, and he is with us personally. Amen. We have the very presence, not presence, you know, presence of Christ. And that's why God became man. If you're not here with us or with me next Sunday, please be safe. Please have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. Wear your mask or whatever you need to do. Just stay safe until this junk is over with. So from my home to your home and from all the staff at Calvary Chapel, we bid you a Christ-centered Christmas in the mighty name of Jesus, not only the Son of God, not only the Son of Man, but the God-man. Amen. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. For this message, for this day, for the wonder of Christmas, we love you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says,